Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 19. Today, Matt the Mechanic is going to be making picks for UFC Vegas 88. Today is Thursday, March 14th, Pi Day, 3.14. And before we get into the fights, let me introduce from all the way from Clearwater, Matt the Mechanic. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Bill, you stepped on my intro. That my Pi Day was my line.
So what, it is kind of more fitting for you.
Yeah.
Hey, how many numbers of pi can you recite?
Three. No, hold on. Is it 3.1459?
I think it's 159.
Okay, I messed up already. 66%. All right. Hey, your background looks different. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm on the road. I got my road mic on the road. I am in our state capital, Tallahassee, Florida. Little vacation with the fam. Today's the last day here in Tallahassee, and then we're doing one night in some springs somewhere on the way back, some kind of natural springs. But drove past the governor's house yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis.
How's he doing?
I didn't see him. I was hoping I could find out where he buys his shoes.
Yeah, you could use a pair of those.
Yeah, I could use some nice platform dress shoes. Some like pirate boot looking shoes.
So what's that city like? There's not. I can't say that I've ever thought of going there.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing where we basically like picked somewhere that neither of us had been or the three of us had been. And we settled on Tallahassee and just got an Airbnb and came up here. And there's some cool stuff. The museum was really cool. It was more of a zoo than a museum. And they had like a treetop climbing course that goes through the whole park. So my daughter loved that. They put you up on a harness and you got to go through all these obstacles and crawl through tunnels and stuff. And really, really beautiful park. And then today we drove to some caverns, did a cavern tour, and my daughter loved that too. She thought it was the coolest thing. She was like right next to the tour guide the whole time. We saw some bats and stalactites and stuff like that.
Was there a lot of crystals in there?
No. It's more like mineral formations.
Okay. I've been in all types. Me being an Eagle Scout, I've been in all types of caves.
Are you an Eagle Scout?
Yep. And I got that when I was 15 years old.
Mm. So you'd show me how to do a clove hitch knot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think still back home with my rope knot presentations on the wall, I think.
Mm. Oh, I had to learn all those when I was in the fire department.
You need to check out spelunking. That's the you know what that is?
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
That's fun. That's really
Have you
fun.
Done that?
Oh, yeah. We did a lot of cool stuff.
Well,
I don't know if they'll do it these days because looking back, it was dangerous as hell. They're just like, here's a handwritten map. You know, you go in here and you'll come out over here. And you, at some points you're swimming. And, you know, I was maybe 12, 13 years old, but we made it. Jeez.
Yeah, you couldn't get me to do that now. Like when I was younger, maybe. But now I'm like, no.
It's not that bad. But you always have to remember that it's easier going in than out.
Oh, sure.
So if you're having a hard time going in, you better stop and turn around.
Oh, man, I just watched a video of some guy. He was videoing himself going through a cave, and it was like his last moments. He was like crawling through, and his shirt was ripping. And he was like, I'm going to have to break my hands to get out of here. And he didn't get out.
No, man. Yeah.
But speaking of getting out, I want to mention quick before we get into the fights, former UFC heavyweight champion Mark the Hammer Coleman had an unfortunate incident this week where his house caught fire. His dog woke him up. He got his parents out of the house and went back in to get his dog. And the dog Hammer unfortunately didn't make it out. And Mark Coleman was in critical condition for a couple of days. Seems like he's really badly burned. And he's got He's like up, awake, and talking now, but he was in really bad shape for a while there. So that's scary stuff, man.
Hey, if you you know, he was before my time. If you wanted to suggest one of his fights I should watch, what would be one or two?
I would definitely watch his fight against Shogun Hua and Pride. Any of the early stuff, man. They call him the Godfather of Ground and Pound for a reason. So he was an All-American wrestler, Ohio guy. Yep. I believe he was an All-American at Ohio State. And just a monster of a man. He would just take people down and beat the shit out of them. And that's why they called him the Hammer, because he would just take people down and hammer fist them through the canvas.
Like I said, I don't know much about him. He's definitely one of the, his Instagram account gets put into my algorithm a lot. I see him. He seems to be a real crazy son of a bitch.
Oh, he's out of his mind.
And then I think it seemed like he lives in Vegas. So if he was in Ohio just for visiting his parents, then that's pretty impressive. I mean, I don't know if he lives in Vegas, but
I'm not, I think he lives in Ohio. Because he was back training, and he was training with Matt Brown, who is an Ohio guy. And Mark Coleman was in real bad shape for a while. He was an alcoholic. I don't know if he was into other stuff, drugs and things. I'm sure he was, especially when he was fighting in Pride. But he had to get sober, and then he started doing a carnivore diet to lose weight and get in shape. And he was looking pretty good for a while. He was talking about taking a boxing fight, and he's like almost 60 years old, I think. But yeah, I'm sure this fire is going to be a big setback, because he was in critical condition. I think he was on like life support, it looked like.
Yeah, the first picture I saw, he was in like a medically induced coma, and he was awake with his daughters. And there's a GoFundMe that's got quite a bit of money in there.
Good, good. Yeah, I should share the link for that as well. I'll find it on his social media. But yeah, it's terrible, especially because, you know, the guy, he was on his second lap, you know, where he had kind of hit rock bottom, and then he was really reinventing himself. Like, it was his whole thing on social media was sober is cool and carnivore is cool. And, you know, this is how I changed my life. I got sober and I eat steaks every day. So, you know, hopefully he pulls through and he's able to get back to being healthy again.
Yeah, hopefully. And then if he does, this will just add to his legacy. Because, I mean, not that any man would want that to happen, but it's like a man's dream to be able to act and save your family like that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And that's a terrifying thing. Which is why, like, firefighters, if they're stuck in a burning building, you see, they will jump out the window because they'd rather die from falling than burning alive. It's a horrible feeling, from what I've studied. I mean, I've been in burning buildings before, but, you know, never without full protective equipment, and it's definitely uncomfortable. So I can't imagine going in there with just like regular clothes or pajamas on or whatever he did to get his parents out, and then going back in to try and get his dog. Yeah, that's a brave dude. But he, like you said, he's a crazy bastard. So
yeah, from what I've seen, if you would ask me if that guy would do that, I would go, yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah, he'd probably break down the door with his head first, just to get back in there. Yeah. But yeah, positive thoughts going out to Mark Coleman and the family. I hope everybody pulls through. Guy's a legend. But yeah. So you want to get into the fights, or you want to do your hot take stuff?
Let's get through this epic fight card we have here.
It's tough, right? Because we're coming off of, you know, 299 was incredible.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, how'd you do last week?
We lost. We lost 35 cents, so.
Okay.
We're up 116.15 for the year.
All right.
what an awesome co-main and main event. I mean, the whole card was awesome, but.
Yeah, I mean, the Poirier fight made it for me. That was.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty stoic when I watch the fights. I actually jumped out of my seat when he knocked out Benoit St. Denis.
I had a house full of nerds, and they all jumped out of the seat. And, you know, I was explaining who Dustin Poirier was on the walkout. So you didn't have to be a longtime fan to get that excited off that comeback.
You must have done a good job then.
I mean, no, the fight spoke for itself. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we can do my take a shot because this kind of works all together. I have a clip of Islam talking about his next fight.
Okay, let's hear it.
You've made it clear kind of over the past couple of days you'd like to fight in June and against Dustin Poirier after his win. Is that what you're hoping for right now?
Yeah, because I know Dustin, it's not deserved the title fight, but we don't have any option right now. Everybody busy, but I want to fight, you know. I want to fight like 3 times in the year.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all that. My hot take is that Islam's next fight should be against the next champion up, and you know, Leon Edwards. And I think he's right. Dustin doesn't deserve or need to be in there. He might deserve to be in there, but I think this last win might give a false sense of security because, you know, Dustin's a tough son of a bitch, but Islam is not going to make the mistakes that St. Denis was making.
All right. Here's my argument against your hot take. I don't think he should move up yet because he hasn't defended the belt against a true lightweight yet.
Oh, fuck.
He's only defended it against a guy a weight class down, and he had fits with him the first fight. I mean, he finished him the second time, but I think if Gaethje beats Max Holloway, it's got to be Gaethje next. And you know Gaethje will turn around and fight for the title in June. April, May, June. I mean, it'll be tight.
Well, no, I think tight. Dustin. Well, I mean, when would Dustin and Islam fight? Or you're saying not Dustin, Gaethje again?
Yeah, because Gaethje just beat Poirier. So, like, and Gaethje's taking this fight against Max Holloway that doesn't benefit him at all. Because Max Holloway even says he's going back to 145 after the fight. So Gaethje has everything to lose and nothing to gain from this fight.
Man, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I thought he's defended his belt a couple times, but you're right.
Yeah, yeah. He has a couple times against Volkanovski, and that's it.
Oh, shit.
All right, what do you got there?
Oh, no, I guess you get to pick. You get to pick one or two.
Well, just take the one that you just held up because that looked like an Irish whiskey.
It is. It's a proper 12.
Oh, okay.
Irish apple.
Yeah, I mean it's St. Patty's this weekend, so let's kick it off with a little proper 12.
It smells like a.
Have you not had proper 12 before?
No, not the apple one.
Oh, that's the apple one.
It smells like kind of like a dirty sock and an apple.
It smells like green Jolly Ranchers.
I can see where you could say that, but I'm getting a little more sock. Not bad. Not terrible.
Right? It's like nothing to write home about, but it's not as bad as you would think it would be.
You could put like a little bit of cinnamon, a little shot, I don't know, caramel apple.
Yeah.
Cinnamon apple, I mean.
Mix it with some butter shots, make a caramel apple cocktail. I was expecting it to be so tart and sour. I was actually surprised that it was just like kind of subtly sweet.
Yeah, like those Jim Beams we have where the whatever flavor it is just overpowering.
Wow, those are disgusting. Ugh. That orange one, I'm still tasting it.
I was at the store trying to pick some more of these today, and you pretty much picked all the ones that aren't like 99 whatever.
Yeah.
99 papaya, guava.
We're going to have to try a different liquor store. But Here's my pour of the week. It's one you're familiar with, Eagle Rare.
Is that the one I got you?
No, I haven't opened that one yet. This one was opened already, and I brought this. So I'm glad you brought me that one, because
that one's gonna be done.
This one will be done by the end of this vacation. Yeah, I brought this bottle on vacation with me. Actually, there's a liquor store right on the corner here. They have it on the shelf, and they want $80 for it. And it has a sign under it that says, Eagle Rare, $79.99. Try something new. Like, man, I used to get Eagle Rare off the shelf for $30 regularly. But those days are long gone. I have not had any success bourbon hunting on this trip. But oops. Is you got an intruder or something?
No, it was probably
I hope your house is on fire.
A bird, or usually a bird.
Oh, one other thing before we get into the fights. I've been drinking a little beer on this trip because I've been laying off the beer a lot. But since we're on vacation, I decided to let loose a little bit. We hit a brewery here that was actually really cool. It was called Amicus, AMICUS. And it was in this like really awesome restored building that looks like it could have been a church or a cathedral or something at one point. And it was just happened to be next to a park where we were riding our bikes. So we stopped in. They had some board games and stuff. So we're playing a few intense rounds of Uno, and they had really good beer. So my kind of yardstick for a beer is, or for a brewery is, if we really love it and we have a good time there, we buy the metal sign and I put it up in the backyard.
Yep.
Like by the fire pit there. So,
did you get a sign?
Yeah. Picked up a metal sign. So, gonna add that to the wall of fame in the backyard. And it was cool. Beer was really good. So I know you and your wife kind of pass by this way sometimes, but if you ever stop over in Tallahassee, you guys should check it out. You would enjoy it.
Yeah, we're usually like 100 miles north of there, but we take 75. Would you go 75 up to the turnpike? Or
yeah,
we usually go about another 80 and then hang a left. But
okay.
Yeah, we'll stop down there. We kind of do the similar thing. We have a Yeti cooler on our road trips, and if we like the place, we'll get the sticker and stick it on the cooler.
There you go.
But we haven't had much luck the last couple of years since we got it. We just have, like, I think 4 burial stickers on there. And
lose. You just, every time you go to burial, you put another sticker?
Yeah, I mean, they never disappoint.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite brewery.
It is my favorite brewery, and the neat thing, though, is my second favorite brewery is just about, I don't know, it's a halfway point between you and my house, the Crooked Thumb. And that place really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they put out some bangers for sure. All right, I guess we should talk about some fighting.
Yeah, we delayed long enough.
Yeah, we've been putting this off just because coming off such an awesome card, and this one is like, this could be a real stinker, but let's try and keep it positive. So where do you want to start? You want to start
at the bottom.
All right. Started at the bottom. Now we're here. So is that Gerald Meerschaert and Brian Barberena?
Yeah, the order is all weird on all different websites. So that is the first fight, and then we might have different order, but
okay.
You go for it, and I'll respond.
So I actually like this fight. I know Gerald Meerschaert can be a little awkward and a little clumsy on the feet, but on the ground, that dude is a friggin' sniper, man. His grappling is so high level. Brian Barberena's moving up in weight here. And it's not like he was super lean at welterweight. So I'm kind of interested to see what he looks like. You know, is he going to come in, you know, looking like, what's that guy that used to fight at middleweight and now he's a heavyweight? I can't think of his name. But, is he going to come in looking like that guy, or is he going to be like bulked up? Like, did he do it the right way? Like put on some lean muscle. It'll be interesting to see. Like I would better make up my mind about this one seeing the weigh-ins. I don't have the odds in front of me. I assume Gerald Meerschaert's the favorite, though.
So initially I wasn't going to make a pick on this fight because at the start of the week, this fight was a pick. I'm like minus 110, minus 115 or something like that. And I'm like, well, okay. But now Meerschaert is a minus 238 and Bam Bam's a plus 195.
So I wonder what happened there. I wonder if some pictures of him got out and the odds makers saw like, oh, this guy's coming in like a sloppy.
Yeah, but that made me think something different because I'm like, Bam Bam's pretty – he's pulled some shit all out in his career. And
yeah, for sure. I mean, he's got crazy punching power at 170. So I imagine he's going to carry that up and some to 185.
Yeah, so I will be – I'm taking Bam Bam.
Okay. Underdog pick. I mean, he's definitely got a chance to knock Gerald out. Gerald is kind of clumsy on the feet. If this thing goes to the ground, it's going to be a done deal, though.
Yeah. Well, can't make much off a minus 238 either.
But, you know, Barbarina is going to get in there, and he's going to sling leather, and he's always had a good chin. I imagine his chin's going to be even better if he's not cutting as much weight. So yeah, I like this fight. This is an interesting matchup.
Yeah, and you're right. It all depends on what version of Bam Bam we got.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting to see. Weigh in pending. All right.
Moving up weight classes, a little side thing. Have you saw the stuff with Max Holloway?
No.
There's a picture of him went out with Stipe, and he looks as big as Stipe.
Max is big.
Well, I watched this video of him training, and his trainer says he's put on like 15 pounds of muscle for this fight.
And then he's going to try and go back down after this? That doesn't seem healthy.
Which I'm being honest, when I was watching that video, he didn't look that much bigger to me, but what the hell do I know? But anyway.
I want Max to stay at 155. I have for a while. But, you know, now that Volk's not the champ anymore, it might make sense for him to go back to 145.
Yeah.
All right. Next on my card, I have Pani Kianzad and Macy Chiasson. I mean, I would lean towards Macy in this one just because she's a little cleaner. But
she gets tired.
She does. And Pani is gritty. So she can push the pace. This one is going to be like, I think it's going to come down to if Macy can get ahead on the scorecards and coast, she's going to win. But if she starts to fall behind after the first round, then Pani's going to run her over for the second and third. So what are the odds and who do you got?
Macy's minus 240.
And yeah, I can see that.
Pani's plus 185. I'm going to go underdog again here.
That's not a bad pick because if she can pressure Macy early and really wear on her, I think she can pull out a decision here. I don't see this fight being finished.
Yeah.
I think Macy Chiasson's gas tank is going to determine who wins this fight.
I was looking at the prop bets and that Pani to win by TKO is like plus 10,000 or something crazy. I was like, well, that's not going to be that.
Yeah, throw a buck on it.
No, I only have $6, man.
I mean, just outside of this.
Yeah.
All right. So, two underdogs. Next, I have, and I don't know who either of these guys are, Christian Rodriguez and Isaac Dolgarian.
Yep, that's who's next.
Do you know anything about either of these guys?
Well, Christian Rodriguez is the guy that beat the shit out of Paul Rosas Jr.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But this Dolgarian dude is...
He's nice. Undefeated. 6-0.
This is the second fight in the UFC. He had a little bit of trouble, but made it through on his debut, so he won't be, you know, now he's coming in with...
I remember this fight. He TKO'd Francis Marshall. back in August. Okay. So he came into the UFC with only 5 fights, but there were 5 finishes. So this guy's finished every single fight in the first round. 6-0.
Yeah, that, I'm taking Dalgarian.
Yeah, it's not
a... I'm taking a lot of underdogs, and I don't think this kid... I'm going to stick with Dalgarian.
It's interesting. This is an interesting fight because Rodriguez only has 1 loss, and it was a decision. So he's never been finished, and Dalgarian has finished every fight in the first round. So, as we're talking through this, I'm actually getting more excited for this card.
Well, this is probably going to be fight of the night. As long as they're healthy, this will be fight of the night.
Yeah. All right. This next one, I have mixed opinions on. So, Ovince St. Preux and Kennedy Nzechukwu. I'm assuming Nzechukwu is a big favorite here without having the odds in front of me.
Yeah, huge. Minus 575.
Here's the thing with Ovince. He wins fights when he's not supposed to. Right? So when he's like... When it seems like he's going to like truck somebody, he doesn't show up. But he kind of thrives in that underdog role. And he beats people that he shouldn't, quite frankly.
Do you remember who his last win was?
I don't. Are you asking me because you know? It was Shogun Hua.
Yeah. In
2022. Yeah, and he hasn't finished a fight since 2020 against Alonzo Menifield. He hasn't been very active. He's coming off a loss over a year ago to Felipe Lenz, who looked phenomenal last week. He got knocked out, and he took a year off. So I like that. I really like Kennedy and Nzechukwu. Tell me your pick, and then I'll tell you.
Oh, what I think. You're going to make the pick for me.
So here's the thing. I'm a fan of Kennedy, but my gut says there's going to be an upset here. So okay.
We'll see if we can break the streak.
Yeah. Ovince gets finished in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
How much of an underdog is Ovince St. Preux?
Plus 375, so that will pay good.
And what was the odds with Rodriguez and Dalgarian? Dalgarian was the favorite?
Dalgarian's, yeah, minus 200.
Okay, so he's the only favorite you've picked so far.
Correct.
This might be an interesting...
I'm not going to pick many favorites. I'm not going to pick many favorites this card. I'm trying to make it more interesting for me. It'll be more exciting if I'm rooting for the underdogs.
Yeah, big for sure. I mean, especially after last week. It's the day of the underdog, thanks to Dustin Poirier. We've entered the era of the underdog. Okay, so co-main event, Brian Battle and Ange Lusa. I don't have a dog in this race. I'm assuming Brian Battle is a slight favorite.
Yeah, he's plus 180.
Okay.
And the other guy's he's minus 180, and Lusa is plus 150.
Okay.
Which is weird, because this Lusa guy's only, what, fought once?
Has he?
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously had more than one fight, but...
He's only fought once in the UFC? No, he has three fights in the UFC. 2-fight winning streak. He lost to Jack Della Maddalena on the Contender Series. That was a crazy fight. Yes. Okay. So Ange Lusa lost on the Contender Series, went and got a win outside of the UFC against former UFC fighter John Howard. And then they called him for a last-minute fight against Munir Lazez, which was a really exciting fight from what I remember, and he lost the decision to him and now he's won two in a row in the UFC. Hasn't finished a fight since 2016. I don't see Brian Battle losing this fight.
Yeah. That's, you know, the only thing is I watched a couple of his fights, and he seems like he's like Billy Q a little bit, where he likes to get, not likes, but needs to be, get his ass whipped a little bit to get going.
Yeah, it wakes him up.
But that's not a great strategy.
No.
Especially against this guy, Lusa, who he has one punch out, you know, one punch knockout power. I will be picking Battle, but I just want to mention that Lusa by TKO in any round is plus 650.
Yeah, it's because he hasn't finished anybody in 8 years.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Brian the Butcher it is.
All right. Former Ultimate Fighter winner. All right, main event. This is your typical brawler versus technician matchup. So Tai Tuivasa. If Tai comes out there and he's loose, I mean, Tabura is a tough guy to finish. But if anybody can put his lights out, it's Tuivasa. If Tuivasa lets this be an MMA fight, he will lose everywhere. He'll lose standing. He'll lose on the ground. And he may even get finished on the ground. If he can make it dirty, like really dirty, and sneak in some slick power, he's got a chance. But, I mean, on paper, Tabura should easily win this fight.
Really?
He was knocked out in his last fight. He's got a pretty good chin, but I don't know. What are the odds and who you got?
So, technically, Tuivasa's the favorite.
Really?
No, not by much. He's minus 118, and Tibera's minus 102. So it's a pick'em fight, but technically Ty's the favorite. I think we're going to do something different here. I think we're each going to make a pick. We're each going to make a bet on this fight.
Okay.
We're just going to pick what round, who finishes who in what round, because there's... It's...
Okay. Who are you taking?
How far do you think this, how many rounds do you think is, what's the max rounds?
Five.
You think it could go that far?
It could.
Man, that would suck. That's a... If Ty wins in the fifth... Oh, no. Never mind. If Ty wins in the fifth by submission, like... $1 would make you $3,000.
What? I'd throw a buck on that.
Well, I mean, has he ever submitted anyone?
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that bullshit. I will be taking Tibera TKO round two.
All right. Then I'll do Tuivasa KO round one.
Ooh, that's not very good odds, buddy.
It's not good
plus,
odds?
It's plus 275, but if you wait till the second, it's plus 600.
Wait, am I just going against you, or am I trying to make money?
I'm trying to make some money here.
Okay. What do I get for a KO round three?
Plus 1,200.
Oh, okay. I thought I was supposed to pick like the opposite guy.
No, you can take Tibera too. Tibera by TKO.
What's Tibera by submission round three? Tibera by
submission. Yeah. Oh, this is getting confusing. Plus 2,800.
All right, give me that.
Okay.
I missed some comments from earlier. So Mark Fellow says, planning on doing a shoey this weekend, Bill. Absolutely not.
Ugh.
I've told you guys on several occasions, the only way I'm doing a shoey is if Billy Quarantillo wins the featherweight championship. And I think it's only fair that if this happens, Billy does it with me on the air. So I'm going to agree to that for him.
You want to come on my show and drink out of a shoe?
Yeah.
Congratulations to the UFC champion of the world.
Wearing the belt.
Shoey.
Yeah, he's got to do a shoey wearing the belt.
Wearing the belt.
So, yeah. Billy, if you're listening, you and me, shoeys, when you win the title and you're going to wear the belt, I'll buy the shoes and the beer.
Little more excited now for this card.
Yeah, this always happens when it looks bad on paper, and then I do the podcast. I always get hyped up for it. My buddy Jason says he actually bought an Eagle Rare for $36 today. I haven't seen that price since like well before COVID on an Eagle Rare.
Where does he live?
Michigan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sorry, Jason. Didn't mean to. Didn't mean to expose your location there.
State controlled liquor prices.
Is it?
I mean, I'm guessing because that's what Eagle Rare is up in Ohio, and that's why.
I don't know. I know he's so Jason's a big bourbon collector. I think he's got a bigger collection than I do. So he's able to get a lot of good stuff. All right, so yeah, this card is exciting. Let me take a quick peek at the prelims, see if anything jumps off the page. Natan Levy and Mike Davis, right off the bat, that's a really fun fight. Odey Osborne usually puts on exciting fights. He's getting in there with Jafel Filio. Josh Koulibaly and Danny Silva, I think that could be a fun one as well. That's all I got.
What time does this thing start?
I don't know. It's at the Apex, so it's probably a regular time.
4 p.m. Prelims.
Okay. Well, anything else? Any news?
Yeah, I got some news. Breaking news. Marvin Vettori's out of his fight with Arnold Allen. That was the main event of UFC 90.
I saw something about this. Fight Night 90, right?
UFC, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. The fight night before 300.
So Brendan Allen called out the five people in front of him, which are Jared Cannonier.
Not going to happen.
Robert Whittaker, Sean Strickland.
And Izzy.
And Adesanya. I mean, I think Strickland would say yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Strickland this week's been hammering for the rematch.
Has he?
Yeah. Which I agree. His point is, look, Izzy got it after getting completely knocked out cold. And, I lost a decision that Dana thought I didn't lose. So give me a rematch. I would add, I'm also like top three trending fighter right now too. I mean, there was an article about him on USA Today. You know, it wasn't a positive article at all, but it's still on the front page of USA Today.
What was it, shitting on him?
Oh yeah, about it was an opinion piece that he's a piece of shit, and it was somebody bitching about what he said about gay people, but yeah. It just seemed silly to me.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to make a lot of friends these days.
Yeah, I mean, but it was one of those articles that say, you know, this is not an opinion. This is fact. He's a terrible person.
Oh, okay. It's like,
okay, well, I don't even think you've ever watched anything. Yeah, you don't probably don't even know what he looks like. But anyway, I hope they can find a replacement fight for this, for Vettori, because the co-main on this card is Norma Dumont versus Durandamy.
Yeesh.
And then
main Durandamy, like dust in a cobweb.
Hold on a minute here. Now let me keep going on this card. This is what I was talking about, how the cards are going to suck because of 299 and 300.
Yeah.
The feature fight is Nora Canole versus Melissa Dixon. The next one's Piero Rodriguez, Cynthia Calvillo. Then Jose Johnson, Lucas Roca. And yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
Oof.
That's rough.
Nate Diaz and Masvidal are boxing June 1st.
Yeah,
I kind of felt the same way. I'm a huge Diaz fan.
This is like, if you're a tennis fan, like two of your favorite tennis players are gonna play ping pong. Like, who gives a fuck, really? Like, I don't. Like, yeah. There's no.
I was thinking about this earlier. What bugs me is Nate and Masvidal are they both in the top five of, you know, if they actually had a UFC contract, of the top five UFC fighters as far as draw, right?
Oh, as far as draw, yeah. I was it for as far as rankings, like, no, not even close.
No, a skill, but I don't know. They should be fighting in the cage. If they're going to fight, they need to fight in the cage. I don't want my last time seeing Nate or Jorge being this shitty boxing match.
I mean, at this stage in their career, like, they're both damn near 40 years old. They're probably both, what, 38, 39?
Yeah.
That's somewhere. I mean, it's gonna be a less taxing camp for them if all they have to do is box. You know, we've heard our buddy Dave Mondell talk about this. Like, it's much easier on the body preparing for a boxing fight than it is for an MMA fight, because you don't have to do all the wrestling, you don't have to do all the jiu-jitsu and all the stuff that fucks up your joints and things like that. So it'd probably be easier on their aging bodies to just worry about their hands. I mean, like, they're both good boxers. Neither one of them are elite boxers by any means. Like, so for me, it's always like, well, what happens after this? Where does this go? And it's really just a one-time kind of spectacle. And the thing that really killed this, I think, was the Dylan Danis. Which Paul brother did he box? It doesn't matter.
Logan.
That fight was awful. Awful. That was, and it, like, it's like, all right.
Did it really ruin it? Did you watch it? You watched it.
No, I didn't watch it live.
You saw, like, a clip of it?
I went back and watched, like, I saw some highlights, and then I went and watched a few rounds of it, and it was just Dylan Danis doing this the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think you could. That's like the worst one. You can't. That's not the example to use on what the Paul brothers are doing. I mean, Dylan Danis is a douche.
Yeah, but it's
But I agree. I was just, my hot take a couple weeks ago was, you know, about this type of shit, and I was even defending it last week. But for some reason, I saw this, and I even knew this was kind of coming.
Yeah,
it's just like,
I mean,
how about, you know, Connor has a clip. I don't know if you want to play that about what he's currently doing.
So before you do that, what I'll say about the Nate and Masvidal thing, if it occurs on a night where there's no UFC, dare I say, no Bellator, and it comes on at a reasonable hour, I might consider watching it without paying for it. But that's kind of where I stand with it.
Well, it is a Saturday night, and UFC is not that far out.
So UFC is happening that same night?
No, UFC schedule is not that far out.
Okay.
Or at least not in the way where I look. But
yeah.
I mean, I think it would do great, but it's on some app that you have to buy. Or, no, that's not fair. It's some app you have to connect with.
It's not going to do great.
The reason I brought Connor up is because I personally would just like to see Nate and Connor fight in the UFC cage one more time, and they both just kind of sail off. I mean, this is what he's doing now.
Okay.
He's got the nice movie, but this is actually him on the carpet at the premiere of the movie.
Let's talk fighting. You want to get back in that cage. It feels like every time you're brought up, they kind of just, they don't commit. What do you think? When are you getting back in there? Who against?
You know, I'm wrapping up this tour. I've got the St. Patrick's Day festivities going. And then I'm going to get back and regroup. I'm going to test myself physical-wise on the treadmill and do the ramp test and go about the McGregor fast way and get myself right back. I had a camp in Cannes, the south of France. I had a camp in Dubai at World Champions training with me where I was hoping for a December date, then a January date, and then it keeps getting pushed back. Then I lose interest and stop training for a while. Not stop training. I always train, but stop full training and drinking a little bit. Hold on. So I'm
That hold on was another reporter trying to ask him a question, but a lot of these timelines don't match with what, you know, he just seems like he's feeding a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm in a camp, I'm out of a camp, I'm getting tested, but, you know, there's other news articles saying he's the most tested athlete in the UFC this year. It doesn't make sense.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Well, but it's not, it doesn't, not just him, but you know, what we're getting from the UFC doesn't make sense either. It seems like the only one that's telling the truth is Dana, and Dana's saying, look, I don't know if he's ever going to fight again.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like he wants to. Like, his training sounds about as consistent as mine. And he's like, I'm training, I'm drinking a little bit. That's
like that.
That's me. Like, I'm not going to
get through, path through St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we'll have a par for Easter. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it sounds like I'm as likely to fight in the UFC as Conor McGregor is, because it seems like we train about the same amount. And he's like, I'm going to test myself on the treadmill. What the fuck does that mean? Like, if I was going to get in a cage fight, the last thing I'd be thinking about is a treadmill. Like, did you forget what it even takes to do this, man?
Yeah,
two-division world champion?
I kind of just wish he'd do the Nate Diaz fight or just retire. I mean, he's done it. He didn't get it. His career didn't end probably the way he wanted to, but...
Yeah.
His fucking leg broke, and Khabib exists, and he's rich.
And yeah.
I can buy his proper 12 Apple shots at any... a gas station in Florida. So,
but didn't he sell off most of his shares of Proper 12?
I don't know, but he had a hand in that, and I'm sure if he did sell off his shares, he's good.
All right, so a couple of things. Mark says that isn't June 1st the same day as UFC 302? And while you check on that, Jason is saying, do you think there's any truth to the rumor that Connor versus Mike Chandler for the inaugural 165-pound belt? You know, leading up to the announcement of the main event of UFC 300, I definitely thought that was possible. I think it's much less likely now, just because there's no reason to do it. You know, I think UFC 300 would have been a good reason to bring that into the equation, but I think we're probably past the point of it making sense now. Unless
there's been enough chatter with enough UFC fighters I've seen doing interviews talking about this belt change. I definitely think it's going to happen. And Michael Chandler might get that chance. I just don't know if Connor will be part of it.
I don't think Chandler gets that opportunity without being opposite Connor. Who else could you put? Who else would be a big enough name?
This is we also have to keep in mind, we haven't talked about this subject, but Chandler is also a witness for the UFC in this trial, so I think he's in the running for this belt.
Okay.
I should put my tinfoil hat on.
All right. Little conspiracy theory. Jason says they should add 165-pound division regardless. Yeah, I've believed this for a long time. I've trained with plenty of guys who are tweeners between 55 and 70. I think Kevin Lee is a guy who definitely would have benefited from this. I think Khabib would have been a picture perfect 165 pounder. He really struggled to make 155, and I think at 165 he would have been even more dominant. But if you don't have Connor in this equation to bring in a new division, who can you put opposite Michael Chandler to make it interesting?
Dustin Poirier.
But Poirier is not going to fight at 165. Poirier is a small lightweight. I've seen him in person. Yeah, like he looks like a featherweight. And I think a rematch between Gaethje and Chandler would be interesting because that first fight was so incredible. But I don't think Gaethje's a 165er either. I think Gaethje's a natural 155.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Wouldn't Islam fight for just try to step up, because doesn't he have a hard time making weight?
Yeah, he could. So then what do you have him do? You have him vacate 155 and you have Chandler versus Islam? And do you think that does
you don't have to be against Chandler. You could give Chandler his favor at 155 and pick somebody else for 165, like Colby Covington comes to mind.
Colby Covington, yeah. He could probably make 165. I mean, he's not big on cutting weight. I know he doesn't cut a lot of weight to make 170.
I mean, I don't know. I met Dustin the same night you did, and I've met Colby, and Dustin seems bigger than Colby. Just what I'm saying.
No.
I met Colby in camp, and Dustin was out of camp when we met him, but...
I met Dustin out of camp, and he's not a big guy.
Maybe
he's got narrow hips.
He got bad hips. Didn't he have surgery or something? Anyway, we're going off the rails.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of the point? We're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Islam, but they wouldn't just put they can't just put a 165-pound title on somebody. Like, Islam would have to fight for it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think it would be like Islam's fighting for the 165, and if he wins, he vacates.
Are there any welterweights who are a little small that are like big draws?
Yeah, Colby Covington.
Yeah. Would you do Colby Covington versus Michael Chandler? That's actually an interesting fight.
I wonder if you could do Colby Covington versus Ian Garry.
I don't think Ian Garry's making 165.
Yeah. Colby called Ian Garry out this week. Well, he accepted Ian Garry's call out, but there are some stipulations that I don't think is going to happen. Like, one of the stipulations was Ian Garry had to be Colby's. Ian Garry's wife had to be Colby's woman for his picks, for his betting site.
Oh, yeah, and he had to turn on his Instagram comments.
He had to turn on his Instagram comments. And the other one, his wife had to send him a 60-second pitch on why he should accept Ian Garry as a fight. He's the best. He's the best at the over-the-top heel.
Yeah.
But he puts enough on it that you know he's acting.
Sure.
It's fun.
I mean, some people don't know he's acting. There's a lot of MMA marks out there.
Yeah, well, if you can't if you can't see that he's acting, then I don't know. I ain't got nothing for you.
There's a lot of them out there. A lot of marks. In any case, you got any more news?
The only other thing I got, I don't want to end it on, so no.
All right, then we'll end on this. We'll get some MMA on the Rocks merchandise at reaper1.co. Use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your order. Get an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. Have a feeling hoodie sales are going to plummet soon. It was 86 degrees here in Tallahassee. This is northern Florida, so I imagine it's got to be even warmer back home.
Mid-70s tonight. It was great.
Oh, yeah? Actually, the weather's been perfect here. It's been like a little chilly in the morning, a little chilly at night, and then like hot during the day. We're going to go swimming in some springs tomorrow. So that'll be cool. And then back to regularly scheduled programming. I won't be in this. I'm going to post a picture later of this Airbnb studio setup I have. I'm sitting at a computer chair in front of a nightstand. My laptop is on top of like a pasta pot, and my microphone is on top of whatever this is, some kind of vase that they use to hold the cooking utensils.
I think you'd be a good Boy Scout, Bill.
And I just have like a desk lamp in front of me, where I normally have in my $1 million studio. I normally have my face light and my perfectly positioned microphone and all this stuff. But in any case, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We kind of threw this together, tried to do the regular time, even though I'm traveling. So thanks for accommodating, Matt, even though it was the same time as always. So it wasn't anything different for you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks to my daughter for actually like being quiet. I'm actually concerned that she's been so quiet for the last like 45 minutes. In the beginning of the show, she was like bouncing off the walls, because we did a lot of hiking today, and she had some sugar, so she had a ton of energy. But in any case, I'll be back on Sunday to break down UFC Vegas 88, and then we'll do the picks and pours on the regular time and place. Same over-the-top channel, same over-the-top content. And that's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye. Oh, wait, what are you drinking there?
It's the you asked me too fast.
I asked you too fast.
God damn it, the shit from Sonoma County. Redwood Empire.
Ah, there we go. Redwood Empire. Good stuff. All right. Cheers, everybody. Goodbye. Bye.